18 days, 15 table settings, if your aunt decides to forgive the other aunt and actually come to your dinner, 13 different cold salads that no one actually eats. Are there coconuts and walnuts and carrots in that orange Jell-O mold? Have you ever seen that? Nobody wants that. 12 hours of preparation for 12 minutes of food consumption, followed by 12 requests for heartburn medicine. 8 vegetables on 4 burners. Why don't they make stoves bigger? Why do we always need so many vegetables? 6 pies, 3 football games, 2 turkeys, 1 ham, and countless promises made to yourself that you will never again host another Thanksgiving celebration. This is what you have to look forward to. Who is thinking about Thanksgiving? You probably are now. George Washington was thinking about Thanksgiving. Back in 1789, he established a day of Thanksgiving to God. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln made the last Thursday in November a national day of Thanksgiving. And then finally, in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday in November as our national holiday that we will celebrate in only, you heard it right, 18 short days. What are we thinking about? Are we actually even thinking about Thanksgiving? And if we are, how does that permeate around others? Do others see the Thanksgiving that's in our hearts? Aside from our upcoming holiday, and it is upcoming, how do we live in and give our Thanksgiving every day? In essence, is it a faithful reaction, or rather, is it a forced response? Now, parents, you know what I'm talking about. You know, and again, we as kids, sometimes we would forget to say thank you. Now, Jeff and I took the Kibler kids and the Sparks kids trick-or-treating this year. We had fun. Never seen Ella run so fast in my life. She was dragging my family everywhere. And the one thing that we noticed, and Jeff and I noticed this, is that there were a lot of people, and a lot of kids specifically, who were saying, thank you, trick-or-treat, here's your food, thank you for it. But we also noticed that there was others that were just giving the forced response where the parents would say, now what do you say? And the kid would say, yeah, right, thank you. So we know that this is real. We know that this happens. C.E.B. Cranfield once said this. He said, Thanksgiving is not meant to be merely words, but the very mainspring of Christian living, the right motive of all services. So what is our motive? What are we thinking about when it actually comes to Thanksgiving? We took a vacation trip to Florida right at Thanksgiving, says Natalie Wright, who shares this account. She says, in fact, we were traveling on the big day. We stopped for dinner at a restaurant. While we were eating, a man came in who was dressed very poorly and sat down at the counter. He ordered coffee and nothing else. My husband felt he needed food, but didn't have the money to buy it for himself. So he talked to the waiter and gave him the money for a complete Thanksgiving dinner. We never thought anything else about it until that evening when we stopped at a fast food restaurant for a snack. When we stopped at the fast food restaurant, we had to wait a long time to be served, and when they finally brought our meal, because it was late, they apologized and gave us our entire order for free. And you guessed it, says Wright. The cost was exactly the same as a Thanksgiving dinner for the gentleman at the first restaurant that we gave to. God takes care of his children, says Wright. We should always be alert to those around us who may need help. If we are waiting and watching, God will show us the need. Now, that word that Natalie Wright uses is important. It is alert. Are we alert to the needs of others? Are we alert to our own Thanksgiving that we should constantly be giving to our Heavenly Father? Natalie Wright and her family were doing more than enjoying the holiday of Thanksgiving. They were also thinking about Thanksgiving. Are we? And do we? And are we thinking about how we can give thanks to God every day? And if we do, how do we do it? Psalm 103:2 says this, I will not forget the glorious things he does for me. Now, that verse is perfectly illustrated in our definition of Thanksgiving, which is found in the Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible. And it says that, quote, Thanksgiving is the aspect of praise that give thanks to God for what he does for us. Ideally, the writer of this passage suggests, Thanksgiving should spring from a grateful heart, but it is required of all believers, regardless of their initial attitude, end quote. You see, that definition, which is unquestionably accurate, sadly suggests that even we adults who have a sincere love for Christ are guilty at times of thanking without thinking or simply offering gratuitous words without a grateful heart. We call this a knee-jerk reaction versus a real and thoughtful response. And in many cases, this is kind of what we do. Because you've got to admit, I mean, God is always with us, always helping us, always blessing us, even though sometimes we don't feel it. But when we fail to feel it or when we fail to see it, something that we do, if we're asked to say thank you to God, it kind of reminds us of how our parents had to do it. Now, what do you say? And we say, oh, yeah, right, thanks, God. Paul said in Colossians 3:15, he says, always be thankful. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 20, he says, always give thanks for everything to our God and Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, those are powerful words. This week, I mean, you've got to admit, it's been a great weather week. This has been good weather. And one thing that I've noticed, I've been tooling all over the funeral homes in our area, and when I was in the parking lot, I mean, it's just the parking, I don't know what it is about parking lots. So I was in the parking lot, I just immersed myself in this weather. And I stopped, and as I was walking, I'd come out, and I just smell the air, and man, it felt so good, and it was just perfect outside. And I would find myself, even in the midst of funerals going on, thanking God for what he's provided for us and how we can enjoy this. This has been good stuff. But oftentimes, we get sidetracked, and we don't take time to thank God for what he has given us. We are told to always give thanks to God. That means that we always must be alert. In Luke 17, 11 through 19, we find Jesus traveling with his disciples. Listen to this. He says, as they continued onward toward Jerusalem, they reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as they entered a village there, 10 lepers, not the spotted cat, but lepers, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, sir, have mercy on us. Jesus looked at them and said, go to the Jewish priest and show him that you are healed. And as they were going, their leprosy disappeared. One of them came back to Jesus shouting, glory to God, I'm healed. He fell flat on the ground in front of Jesus, face downward in the dust, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a despised Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, this is interesting because, folks, I don't know what we know about leprosy. Believe me, you don't want to know a whole lot about leprosy. Leprosy was bad. It was bad. It's been eradicated. We know that. But in the time that this was prevalent, it was bad. Here's some things you need to know about leprosy. It was a skin disease. Some say it was psoriasis on steroids. I mean, it was bad stuff. And it was extremely, extremely dangerous to the people around them. So anybody who had leprosy had to follow some specific rules in that culture. One of them was this, and this was really bad. One of them had to wear mourning clothes. No, not pajamas. That's M-O-R-N-I-N-G. But M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Mourning clothes. They were grieving clothes. They suggested that they were affected and afflicted with something. In addition, they had to leave. Anybody affected or afflicted with leprosy had to have their hair in complete disarray. They had to have their beard covered. And lastly, it has been suggested that the lepers had to be at least 50 yards away from their fellow people, and they would have to shout to all of those people, unclean, unclean, because they were unclean. They were ostracized, scoffed at, mocked at, laughed at. They were people that people stood away from. They were people that people stayed away from. Nobody wanted to be around them. You see, this despicable and deplorable disease was something that affected 10 people that Jesus talks about here. But only one of the 10 lepers thought about thanking Jesus. Now, does this surprise us? I mean, I don't know that it does, but let's for a moment take a high road. Let's take a high road. What were they thinking? What were those 9 lepers thinking? We know what the one was thinking. He was thinking about thanking the one who healed him. What about the other 9? If we take the high road, it would suggest that maybe they were so excited about being healed, they couldn't wait to get back and become a member of society. They had to check with the priest. Then they could go back and spend time with their family members and friends. And maybe they were just so excited about being healed that they couldn't wait to go back and say, we're no longer unclean, but this guy with the beard has made us clean. Maybe that happened. But the low road would tell us this. The low road would tell us that they got their miracle, that they were now changed people, but they weren't thankful. They just simply forgot to say thanks. Many decades ago, let me stress many, many decades ago, Harold Ruoff in the Chicago Daily News tells this story. He says, a postal employee opened and read the mail in which came to the dead letter office in Washington addressed to Santa Claus. In the 3 months before Christmas, there were thousands of letters, says Ruoff, asking for something from Santa Claus. In the months after Christmas, there was only one card addressed to Santa Claus actually thanking him. Ruoff says how quick we are to ask and receive, how slow we are to speak the magic word, thanks. Bill Marriott, the executive chairman and chairman of the board of Marriott International, you've probably stayed at one of his properties. He once claimed that, quote, the two most important words in human relations are thank you. So why do we struggle when it comes to God of telling him thank you? Why do we forget to tell our wonderful God who blesses us and takes care of us every day thank you? The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, that giving thanks to God is not only the right thing to do, but it's also our duty to God. So are we being dutiful and are we being thoughtful when considering our thanksgiving? I'm going to read to you today from our sermon text. This is Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Here's what the Apostle Paul has to say about this. He says, now these are important words, especially as we prepare for our upcoming holiday. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And tell your God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. And if you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Now, in these three verses, Paul uses the word think, or a closely related word, four times. There's a reason for this. We're going to be talking about this as we move forward. There's a reason for this, because Paul equates thinking with thanking. He says that one should equal the other. Now, we are in Thanksgiving mode right now. You are 18 days away. There should be a little bit of panic here. You're 18 days away, which means that right now you're probably starting to think about recipes. Recipes. That's what Thanksgiving is about too, right? Recipes. Cooking, baking, making. So you're thinking about recipes. And Paul institutes a recipe for us to get from point A to a point where we can truly be thankful, where we can truly experience something so magnificent and wonderful that we've never known before, but it's going to take this formula, this recipe, to get there. And Paul is all about this. So when thinking about your upcoming holiday called Thanksgiving, we oftentimes find ourselves doing something that we don't like to do, but we just do it. It's natural. It's called worrying. There's a reason Paul starts this way. He says, don't worry about anything. You see, you have an 18-day countdown now, and I'm guessing that somewhere along the way, probably you're going to experience some level of anxiety. If you're the one hosting the Thanksgiving meal, I can almost assure you your inclination is going to be worry and anxiety. We don't want you to get there. Paul essentially says this, if you are thinking like this, which means if you are worrying like this, he says, then pray about this, and then don't forget to thank God for delivering you from this. So he's saying this. He's saying, if you're here and you're in a place of worry and anxiety, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to pray to God. I want you to think about God. And ultimately, you're going to thank God. And when you thank God, something really great is going to happen. It's a great recipe. You know, Jesus knew something about this. In fact, he showed us the many things to thank God for during his earthly service. For example, John 11, 41 and 42, Jesus thanked God for listening to him. In Matthew 15, 35 and 36, Jesus thanked God for the food that was given to him. In Luke 22, 14 through 20, Jesus thanked God for the elements, the bread and the cup that would one day represent him. See, thinking about God and praying to God, that led to thanksgiving that was supposed to be given to God. And folks, this is a God-given recipe to eliminate worry and anxiety. Paul knew what he was talking about. He understood it. Let me give you an example. One day in the youth Sunday school class in the basement of the church, the elderly Sunday school teacher asked, "Now, Johnny, tell me frankly, do you think about God and thank God by saying your prayers before eating?" Little Johnny quickly replied, "No, ma'am, I don't have to. My mom's a good cook." Now, Johnny wasn't, he wasn't thinking, but Johnny certainly was thinking. We have to equate the two. We are called to equate the two. And when we do, listen to this, and when we do this, we will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. You know what that means? That's like mind-blowing good. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Now, we've experienced this, right? I mean, we're talking about recipes and making and baking and cooking. And one thing that we did yesterday, we had our packing party here. And so we brought food. We had food. There was food here. And we have a lady in our church. Her name is Sean Campbell Ailes. And Sean is, she's amazing. I mean, this lady can make food like nothing I've ever seen. And she is the queen of sweets. And so anyway, she brought this chocolate stuff. I didn't know what it was. It was just in the, you put it in a styrofoam cup and everybody was eating it. And everybody's trying to get me to eat it. I was on carb count yesterday. Carb count. And everybody was digging into that chocolate stuff all over their face. And I'm watching, I'm like, really? Because that is not good for me. But I realized, and so my brother loved it. My daughters loved it. I mean, it was like mind blowing. I asked my daughter, I said, "Girls, what was the best thing you ate yesterday?" "Dad, it was that chocolate stuff. That chocolate stuff was amazing." I was like, mind-blowing amazing? And oh, yeah. My point is this. Paul wants us to get to this place that gets us beyond human understanding. You know what that is? That's peace. That's peace. And it's the peace that goes beyond human understanding. There is a level of peace that God can provide us that goes beyond anything we've ever experienced. This is the kind of peace he can provide. It's mind-blowing peace. It's like when you eat that wonderful food item, you're like, it can't get any better than this. I mean, that's like the greatest thing I've ever had. And it just blows your mind. This is what Paul's talking about. He says, God can get you to this place. I have, Paul says, the recipe that can take you to this place. And when we experience this peace, folks, we will have no other feeling or identity like it, because we've never experienced anything like it. When we're actively praying to God and thanking God, we are subsequently offered the peace of God, which surpasses our own understanding. Look at what this peace does. It gives our hearts and minds quiet rest based on this level of trust. You're going to need this for the holidays. I'm telling you, you are. You see, in 18 days, you're going to say, "God, help me, I need peace." And you're going to be able to look back, and you're going to be able to remember this. You're going to say, "Oh, yeah, this is what Paul told me to do to accomplish and achieve this level of peace." Now, when this happens, praying leads to thanksgiving. But listen to what happens after this. Thanksgiving, according to what Paul says in Scripture, thanksgiving provides God's peace. But it doesn't end there. Here's the recipe. God's peace then provides us, according to Scripture, rest. God's rest, we're not done yet, God's rest then strengthens our trust. And when this happens, worry, what started out as worry, ends in peace. I used to love watching my mom bake, and she'd put all the nasty ingredients in, like, I'd watch it all, and then whenever it was done, and it was concocted and contrived, and it was perfect, and it tasted so great, and I was thinking, how did that turn into this? How did worry and anxiety turn into godly peace? And let me tell you how. It comes from thinking, and it comes from thanking. That's how it works. Dr. Richard Carlson wrote a lot of books. He's an inspirational speaker. He says this. He says, spend a moment every day thinking of someone to thank. Here's his article. He says, to me, gratitude and inner peace go hand in hand. The more genuinely grateful I feel for the gift of my life, the more peaceful I feel. Gratitude, then, is worthy of a little practice. Carlson goes on. He says, I learned a long time ago that it's easy to allow my mind to slip into various forms of negativity. When I do, the first thing that leaves me is my sense of gratitude. I begin to take the people in my life for granted. And the love that I often feel is replaced with resentment and frustration. What this exercise reminds me to do is to focus on the good in my life. Invariably, as I think of one person to feel gratitude for, the image of another person pops into my head, then another, and another, and pretty soon I'm thinking of other things to be grateful for. My health, my children, my home, my career, the readers of my books, my freedom, and on it goes. Concludes Carlson. He says, it may seem like an awfully simple suggestion, but it really works. If you wake up in the morning with gratitude on your mind, it's pretty difficult, in fact, almost impossible, to feel anything but peace, end quote. Look at verse 8 of our sermon text. We see in verse 8 what this peace prompts. Listen to this. And now, brothers, Paul says, as I close this letter, let me just say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts. There's our thinking. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Here he goes. He says, think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. You see, peaceful thoughts and quiet hearts shift our minds from the stress of thanksgiving and other things to the blessings of thanksgiving and the truth of Scripture and the love from our Father and Savior and the good traits and the good fruits and things that emanate from our family members and our friends. I mean, isn't that what we want? Isn't that what God wants for our thanksgiving? And when we are praying and we're thinking about thanksgiving and all that we can praise God for and all the fine, good things that God has blessed our fellow man with, we begin to think and we begin to thank like Jesus. And folks, if you can think like Jesus and you can thank like Jesus, I can assure you this, you will experience mind-blowing peace that you never imagined could happen for any of us. Listen to this. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Listen to what he says. He says, we Christians, let's be sure we understand what a Christian is. A Christian is a liver, a lover, and a believer in Jesus Christ. It is someone who says, I give up the things of my life for the things of Christ and the good of others. That's what a Christian is. And he says, we Christians actually do have within us a portion of the very thoughts and minds of Christ. Now that's powerful. Because if you say, man, I don't know. Being thankful, I don't know if I can do it like that. Paul says, oh, yes, you can, because you have a very portion of the thoughts and minds of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, you can do it. And we say, we want to do it, because this is what Jesus does. Isn't it? Wonder why Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 2, he says, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. Now, if we have a portion of the thoughts and minds of Christ, we are always thinking about thanking. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 would tell us this. It becomes an attitude of gratitude. I want to share you with this because this is an example that works. Last month was Pastor Appreciation Month. I didn't create it. I got a friend at work that says, you just made that up, didn't you? I said, no, I didn't make it up. But it was great. I mean, and you guys, you impacted us. Your gifts, your cards, your letters, your Facebook messages, all the things that you did for us, we loved every part of it. Now let me tell you what we do with this. Whenever we get a card, a message, a gift, whatever it is, we gather at the table for dinner. We never miss our table time for dinner as a family. And we open our cards and we share our cards and we read them out loud. And then here's what is really neat. And then we talk about all of you. It's true. It's all good, but it's true. And so when we get those cards and letters and messages and gifts, it is so ironic. You're thanking us. You're thinking about us and you're thanking us. Well, we just turn it right back on you. And so we will actually, as a family, start talking about you. And so we'll say, oh, let me tell you what I love about this person. And then we'll all agree and chime in, and then we all just start talking about you. That's what we do. And what happens is we have this attitude of gratitude. You're saying thank you to us, but let me just tell you, folks, we're saying thank you to you. That's an attitude of gratitude, thinking about thanksgiving that goes beyond what we would normally understand. In honoring the memory of their son who was killed in World War II, the Christian parents gave a sizable check to their church. When the presentation was made, a mother leaned over and whispered to her husband, let's give the same amount for our son. The husband looked at her queerly and asked, what are you talking about? Our son didn't lose his life. Uh-huh, said the wife, that's just the point. Let's give it as an expression of our gratitude to God for sparing our son's life. You know, George Herbert once prayed, our Father, thou hast given us so much, do please give us one more thing, a grateful heart. Are our hearts grateful? Are we thoughtful and are we truly thankful? You see, our thanksgiving cannot center on thoughts or thoughtless words, but rather our thanksgiving must stem from prayerful, thoughtful, and Christ-filled hearts. We're going to do a brief and innocent test. That's probably a little bit untrue. No tests are really that innocent. I don't like tests. I never have liked tests. girls, I'm sorry, I know you're in school, and I know you're thinking, oh man, I came to church today, I can relax. I don't have to take a test. You have to take a test. This is a test. Jaden, I'm sorry, it's a test. I'm not going to make any bones about it. It's a test. It's not fun. So, but it is a bit innocent. There is a purpose for this, all right? So here it is. Now, here are the rules. I'm the teacher, I'm the instructor, I'm the leader, so you got to follow the rules. Number one, you cannot shout the answer out. I used to do that in school, get in trouble all the time. I know you're shocked. You cannot shout the answer out. All right, so until I ask you, this feels like school. Until I ask you, and then we're gonna do this. All right, so here's the test. Here we go. Now, Velma cannot answer. She is excluded from this test. She has no part of this test. She cannot answer. She's the pet. She's the teacher's pet. All right, so just relax, Velma. Just relax. All right, here we go. First question. Don't shout it out. Don't shout it out. I'm just going to watch and see if you know this. How many people know what a doxology is? Okay, Dan said, Dan, you raised your hand the last time. All right, okay. All right. Dan, by the way, Dan is such a good student. He didn't yell it out. He just held his hand up. He's so good. All right, let me tell you what it is. All right, it is a Greek term that means to speak praise, or more specifically, give a hymn of praise to God. All right, now I'm guessing most of you probably failed that test. All right, so here we go. This is part two. This is maybe a little bit easier. How many people know when in this church we offer our doxology? Pretty much we would know, right? Okay, that's good. Yeah, everybody's kind of agreeing with that. Yeah. It's after the tithe and offering. That's with the collection, tithe and offering. That's the doxology. This one's tough. All right. How many people know verbatim how our doxology is worded? And that's tough, isn't it? Because you're probably thinking, well, as soon as Velma starts playing the piano, I just sing it. It just comes out. I don't really know what I'm saying. Just say it. So we're gonna put you to the test. Now you can say this out loud. Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to sing this. You cannot sing this. If you do, you fail the test. We're going to say this in unison, out loud, and we're going to see if you know this. I'm watching you, too, because if you're just mouthing it, man, I'm going to know. All right? I want you to shout this out. You should have heard first service. Man, the walls were echoing. These people knew this. All right. So here we go. I'm going to get you started. Let's do this together. All right. Ready? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Good job. All right, that may be better in first service. All right. Praise him, all creatures here below. Well done. Good job. All right. All right, this one's a little tougher. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. It's the ye. All right, last. This one's easy. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well done. All right, good job. Just had to try. That was like that extra credit question there. All right. You did great. You should be proud of yourselves. Well done. All right. Do you know what you just did? The smart aleck answer would be, yeah, we just repeated what you just said. No, that's not it. Here's what you did. You actually thought about your Thanksgiving. I mean, you had to think about it, right? I mean, you had to. You had to think, oh, man, is that right? Is it ye? Is it thee? Is it you? I don't know. This is what you did. You thought about your Thanksgiving unless you didn't. And you might not have. Because in many cases, we fall into this trap of just going through the motions, of just saying things without thinking about things. And we really have to ask ourselves, am I really thankful about these things? It might be something like this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Did I fill out my fantasy football team today? Praise the Packers, not the Bears, and the Indianapolis Colts. Amen. I mean, we go there, right? I mean, we do that. And you'll literally, you're, all right, I admit, sometimes I go there. It's a good day, all right? All right. And yes, I did fill out my fantasy football team, so I'm in good shape. But that's what we do. I mean, and so we get sidetracked, and that becomes a problem because are we really thinking about Thanksgiving? I'm going to give you a good example. I'm going to embarrass my brother and I here. Why do you still come? I'm shocked that you still come. All right. So we were when we were growing up, my mom and dad were very proud of the fact that we were Christians. And so my mom and dad would always put us on the spot when it came time for prayers. Remember, it's true, right? And so they would always stick their chest out when it was time, and we'd be at a family gathering, and sometimes at Thanksgiving this would happen. And my mom and dad would say, and somebody would say, oh, who's going to say grace? And my mom and dad at that point would be like, our boys will. Now we were thinking, no, we won't. But they wanted us to, and they were really, I think, probably regretful every time they did this, because my brother and I, we did this prayer that sounded like a Gregorian chant. It was, there was no meeting, no thanksgiving, there was nothing behind it except, I've got to say this so I can eat the cheese ball that awaits. That's what we did. I mean, that was my thing. The cheese ball was mine. And so we would do this. They'd say, all right, everybody bow your heads. And then my brother would be like, here we go. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for his food. Amen. And that was it. Did you even, I didn't even know what we said. I mean, at times I just thought it was like, blah, 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 blah. And I know most people probably thought that too. And the point is that I really wasn't thinking about Thanksgiving. I was thinking about the food that I was going to eat at Thanksgiving. Let me illustrate what kind of trouble awaits those who are thanking without thinking, or vice versa. Once a country pastor bought a horse. The horse dealer assured him that he had made a perfect selection. This horse was raised in a religious atmosphere, the dealer said. You can't say giddy up to make him start. Instead, you have to say praise the Lord. If you say giddy up, he won't respond. You have to say praise the Lord. Okay. And instead of saying whoa to make him stop, you need to say amen. No woe, say amen. So the pastor's thing, I was like, okay, praise the Lord, start, amen, stop. Praise the Lord, start, amen, stop. So the pastor paid for the horse, mounted him, and said, praise the Lord. The horse cantered off toward the pastor's church. After a couple of miles, though, a jackrabbit darted into the road and spooked the horse. The horse took off at an incredibly fast gallop across an open field, directly toward a bluff that bordered a huge river 200 feet below. In panic, the pastor completely forgot his instructions. Whoa! He yelled, whoa! Several times, pulled on the reins, but the horse just kept galloping faster and faster and faster. Finally, at the last moment, the pastor remembered and he shouted, amen! Stopping the horse at the very brink of the cliff, the pastor laid back in his saddle, brushed the sweat from his brow, and said, praise the Lord. That ends the account of the pastor and the horse. Sorry, horse lovers, that's what happened. All right. Paul said in Colossians 2, verse 7, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that he has done. What are we thinking about today? What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about thanksgiving, and are we thinking about things that are pure and lovely and true and good and fine and right? Are we thinking about the bad in others, the impure, the unlovely, the ungodly? Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 20, he says, it's the thought life that pollutes. You know, regarding thanksgiving, oftentimes we just forget. What if during this upcoming celebration of Thanksgiving, we actually displayed the very portion of the thoughts and minds of Christ? What if we offered faithful reactions in lieu of forced responses? What if we thought about and prayed about our thanksgiving and meant it when we said it? What if we did this, not only on this holiday, but what if we actually committed to do this every single day? How many of us want more peace, more quiet, deeper rest, stronger trust as our holidays approach? Worrying will not provide it, but praying to God and thinking about God and thanking and praising God will. If we just commit to do it. Being prayerful and thoughtful and thankful, these are God-ordained things worth thinking about. Folks, the holiday of Thanksgiving is one great day. But I think we have to consider doing this every single day. All right. So, we're 18 days away. Sorry, I had to announce it. I mean, Thanksgiving's coming. It's coming. Get ready. You're going to have your recipes, your baking, your cooking, your making, but here's what I want you to remember. Remember this. Remember to always, always be filled with thanksgiving to God Almighty. Not Thanksgiving Day, not only that day, every day. Let's live like we're thankful people, all right? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for our kids. We thank you for our parents and our grandparents, our aunts, uncles, family members, friends. We thank you for everything that you provide us. And I thank you today for Jesus. Thank you for your Son who saves us. And to all of these new members, everyone that's joined this church today, empower them, strengthen them, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and help them to accomplish the great things that you've called them to accomplish and to grow this church accordingly. Thank you for the people that have been in this church for so many years who have dedicated their lives to you in the service of this church. And I thank you that you continue to be with them and strengthen them. Go with us. Be with us. Start a fire in us. Keep us safe and help us to live for you in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.